I need to share something with you. It was a year ago when all this shut down. Lisa and several of us, we were on a cruise, and we got word in the middle of this cruise that the cruise industry had shut down, and they're making our way back to port. We got in early. They dropped us off in Los Angeles instead of San Francisco, and churches had been shut down. Everything's shut down. This pandemic is shutting everything down. In some of the transition of doing all that, I was communicating with the other elders, figuring out what to do, and churches closed. And we got in on Thursday evening, and the decision was made we were going to still try to hold church. And it wasn't always easy, and we were in here, and as bare a group as we could get in here, Tim running the sound, Julie with the video, Lisa playing basically all the music, and Lenny's helping her to sing, and we're trying to keep it scaled down as much as possible. In one of those weeks, there was some guy who actually came to the back door, and he wanted in. He wanted to join us in church, and I told him, no, you can't be in here. We can't allow anybody in. And I tell you what, I sat over there, and I cried for a moment and cried. And then I actually went outside to try to find him. And I found him, and I said, hey, if you want to come to church, I can let you sit in the back, in the narthex back there. Nobody else is back there and stuff. And he said, no, that's okay. And through all this, it's been an entire year of doing this. And you know, the state and other things, you know, you're not allowed to have services. Then you're allowed to have services. In doing all that, you can allow a certain amount of people. Then you have to start wearing masks. You know, you have to wear shields. You know, you don't have to. All that to say, it's been a rough year. And as leaders, and as your leader, feels weird to say that sometimes. We've not always made, I don't know how to say this. We've not always maybe made the right choices or the best choices. I know recently I've spoken to several of you, and there are some people who have felt uncomfortable. We've made them feel uncomfortable being in church. And, you know, there's this weighing game of people being in here and wearing masks. It's all really new to us. We've never wanted to isolate people. I know there are some people who say, well, I can't come to church until it's all completely taken care of. There's others who have wanted to be here. And I don't really know how to say this, except I need to offer an apology. If for any reason, anything we have done as leadership, or even as myself, as the leader here, if there's anything that I have done that has made you feel uncomfortable, made you feel like you were not welcomed here, I'm sorry. That was never our intention. Sometimes we may have gone real far the other way and asked you not to show up or had you not be here and things. I'm not perfect. And so if I did make you feel sorry, if as a church we made you feel sorry, if I did anything that made you feel unwelcome or like you couldn't be here, I'm sorry. I want all of you to be here. It's good to look at her today. There's a lot of you here today, and that's good. You're all family. And I know there are some people who will be here eventually, and someday we'll all be able to worship together, and we won't worry about this pandemic that we've been in, and it'll just be a good time. So I'm sorry. If I've ever made you feel unwelcome, like you couldn't be here and stuff, I'm sorry. Thanks, Jason. Tim's ready. I don't know if I am. Diane, I hadn't planned on any of this. It was a year ago. We got back on Thursday. And on Saturday, the very first thing I did was to show up for the memorial service that they were able to have just as a family and stuff like that. So you're welcome. I'm getting psyched up, ready to do this. We're in a Lent series called The Great I Am. Today we're going to look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. We'll be there in just a couple moments. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. But my question for you today, and what I want us to discuss, is how can we know the way? It was back in the 1950s and 60s when Mickey Mantle and Yogi Berra, they both played baseball for the New York Yankees. They became close friends, and so one day Yogi Berra, He invited Mickey Mantle over his two apartment, but somehow Mantle got lost along the way. And so he stopped at, get this, a payphone. I know some of you won't really know what that is. You put a quarter in and you dial the number and you get to talk to somebody. Yeah, you actually had to dial the number. But he stops at a payphone and he called Yogi and he said, "Hey, I'm trying to find your apartment. Where is it?" And Yogi answered and he said, "Where are you right now?" And so Mantle replied, he says, "Well, I'm on the corner of 5th and Main." And so Yogi said, "Well, you just keep coming in this direction." And then he hung up. Now, those directions, they're not very helpful, are they? But why aren't they helpful? Well, they're not helpful because Mickey Mantle still didn't know the way to go. If you're standing at an intersection, there's at least 2, possibly 4 ways you could go. And Yogi Berra just told him, keep coming this direction. You see, until you know which way you are going, you're always going to be lost. I'm going to ask you to stand as we read our scripture, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. It reads like this: "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. What I find interesting about this scripture, this reading that we have from this morning in John, is that I think Jesus is actually setting up this conversation. I think he primed the pump so that Thomas would actually ask the question, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Because you see, that is the question that Jesus, he wanted to answer that question. How can we know the way? And until we know the answer to that question, we're always going to be lost. James Thurber once said, "All men should strive to learn before they die what they are running from and to and why." And that cute little poem, it has a very powerful point when you think about it. Until we know why we are here, until we know where it is that we are going, we're always going to be lost. And so Jesus, he goes in and he frames up this conversation so that Thomas will ask him the question, how can we know the way? The conversation, it actually began much earlier than this, when Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Have any of you ever, well, I know you have, you ever gone on a trip and you've gotten lost? When you got lost, how did you feel? A little nervous, feel lost, you feel troubled. Years ago, Lisa and I were down in Santa Cruz, and we're working with the youth there. And back in those days, it was 92, 93-ish. Back in those days, there was these things called live weekends. And some of you may be familiar with them. And what would happen is a group of people would gather together, and they would go to a specific church, kind of as a team. They would go there, and they would help through this weekend energize and revitalize a church. And Lisa and I, we would work with the youth. And this one particular weekend, it was down in San Diego, at the San Diego Church of God. And so what happens is on Friday evening, there's a gathering and stuff like that. And then all day Saturday, there's different activities that you can do. And then on Sunday, well, Lisa and I, we drove down there on Friday. We got down there Friday morning, and we did that on purpose. Because you see, San Diego, it's close to Mexico. It's close to Tijuana. And if you drive down I-5 and you go through San Diego, eventually you get to the Mexican border. Well, Lisa and I, we decided we wanted to go see what Tijuana was like. So we're driving and we get to the checkpoint and we drive through the checkpoint and we're in Mexico. And you know what happened as soon as we got into Mexico? We couldn't read any of the signs. They all went from English to Spanish. And Lisa and I, neither one of us really understand Spanish a whole lot. The most I could make is Mexico City was hundreds of miles away. And we were lost. We were in Mexico and we crossed the border and we're lost. We don't know how to get anywhere. And there was this real unnerving, this real troubling feeling from all of that. Luckily, there was this place where we could make kind of a quick turnaround. And so we turned around and then we came back across the border. We were able to park our car and then we walked across and we spent a few hours there in Tijuana before we took place in this live weekend. You see, that's how people look at their lives. They feel lost. They feel uncertain. They are troubled. See, it's the uncertainty of life that drives us crazy. It's the uncertainty of life that drives us nuts. Take this present pandemic that we are in, this crisis. There was an article from a year ago, and I recently read it, that said, and it reads like this. It said, as the present pandemic continues to spread, more countries and states order lockdowns. The prospective slope of financial recovery steepens by the day. Many are facing tremendous uncertainties. Questions swirl in our heads. What if I or someone I love gets the virus? Am I still going to have a job tomorrow? Will I ever be able to retire now? What if I lose my house? Will life ever be the same again? See, everything in our lives, it can be stripped away in a moment. Disease, economic collapse, most inevitably death. But I want to remind you that money and health have never, ever been a sure thing. That's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. He said that nothing on this earth is a sure thing. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me repeat this. Nothing on this earth is a sure thing. And that's what drives us nuts. That's what we have trouble dealing with. If we just knew which way to go, if we just knew what truth that we could trust, if we just could get some kind of assurance that this life is going to turn out all right, then maybe, just maybe, we'd be able to hold on and to make it through. And Jesus said, if you're looking for the way to go, that's me. If you're looking for the truth that you can trust, that's me. If you are looking for assurance in this life that everything's going to turn out all right, that's me. You trust in God, trust also in me. I am the way and the truth and the life, Jesus says. But what is it about Jesus that makes him the way? What is it about him that makes him the truth? What is it about him that makes him the life? There's a cute little bumper sticker. Maybe some of you have seen it. Maybe some of you even have it on your car. Don't follow me, I'm lost. In the religious world, there are lots of folks out there who say, follow me, I know where I'm going. In fact, every world religion is based on the idea of following me. I know where I am, I know the right way, I know how to get you there, I know how to do this. But in almost every religion, you can take the founder or the person who started that religion out of it. And if you just kept the teachings, it's still there. You can take Muhammad out of Islam, and you can still have Islam. You can take Buddha out of Buddhism, and you can still have Buddhism. You still have all the teachings. The list goes on and on. But you cannot take Jesus Christ out of our faith and still have Christianity. Everything hinges on him. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians 3:11. He says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on Jesus. Without Jesus, we've got nothing. But why should that make a difference to any of us? What is it about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life that would help me to deal with my doubts, with my distress, with my discouragements? What I want us to do is to talk about each one of them just a little bit. Talk about Jesus being the way, and then the life, and the truth, and look at them individually. Because Jesus said, He is the way. Now, I hate getting lost. I don't like going places and not know where I'm going. And it's very often when Lisa and I will travel somewhere, whether it's on a cruise and we're stopping at a port or somewhere, I will go there ahead of time. Google Maps is awesome. In October 2019, James and I were traveling to the Philippines. We were going there to surprise Lisa's mom for her birthday, and just to hang out with her for a while. And on our return flight, we were supposed to leave Tacloban at 6 o'clock in the morning. That's early. But that meant we had to be there before 4 o'clock to do all the checking. That's even earlier. And the house is over 2 hours away. So we would have to leave like at 1:30 or something in the morning to get there. And that's really, really early. I mean, you're now starting to talk about late night. And so what I did was I booked an Airbnb there in Tacloban so that we could be there in the city and that we could just get up and then go to the airport. There were six of us who traveled there the day before we were supposed to leave. There was Lisa's mom and her sister. Okay, Lenny, your mom and sister too. James and I, and then we had a driver, his name is Mikael, and there was a helper, another guy who went along with us. So there were six of us. And the day before, we left early in the morning, and we went to Tacloban, and we hung out at the mall, and we did some other things. And then finally the decision was made, well, we need to go to our Airbnb, let's get checked in. Now let me back up just a moment. When I booked my Airbnb, I wanted to know where it was. And so I got on the internet, I got onto Google Maps, and I went down to Street View. It's awesome. And so I'm standing on the street, and I turn and I look at the building. And then I can push the button and click my computer up and down the street and figure out where it's located. And I got some landmarks for it. And so as we're getting ready to go to our Airbnb, I said to Mikael, who was our driver, this is the address. Do you know where this is? And he said, yes, he knew where it was. He's familiar with Tacloban and stuff like that. And he starts driving. Eventually, we kind of get the sense, we don't know where we're going. We don't know where this place is. And I said to him, hey, Mikael, can you get us to, get this, the McDonald's that is on the waterfront? He said, sure, I can do that. There's one McDonald's, and we've been there before. It's right on the waterfront, overlooks the bay. And so he drove, and he quickly got and drove right there to where that McDonald's was. And once I found that McDonald's, we weren't lost anymore. I knew exactly how to get to our Airbnb based on where it was located from that McDonald's. See, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ. When you have found Jesus Christ, you are not lost anymore. Because he is the way. There are a lot of people who are afraid that their lives are going to end up in a dead end. They think they've made the wrong choices and they're going down the wrong roads in life. And when all is said and done, they suspect that their life is empty, doesn't account for anything. But see, you don't have to worry about that when you're with Jesus, when you're following Jesus. Once you turn your life over to him, he fixes all of that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared for us to do. When Jesus recreates our lives, when Jesus makes us new and he gets a hold of us, he gives us things to do, works that have been prepared, things for us to do. And when that happens, we have a promise. That promise is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Our promise is this: if we are working for Jesus, if we are laboring for Jesus, our labor, it's not in vain. Jesus will take our efforts. He will take what work we're doing, whatever it is we're able to do, and he'll make it count for something. It doesn't matter if you've made the wrong choices in the past. It doesn't matter if you've been going down the wrong road. When you have Jesus, when Jesus is your way and you're following after him, you're going to arrive at a good destination because Jesus is the way. But not only is Jesus the way, but he's also the truth. In my work bucket, in my truck, I have a tape measure. Matter of fact, I got a couple of them in my work bucket. We have some tape measures here around the church. You probably have some at home. I have a bunch of them all over the place. They're just like thousands of other tape measures that are all around the United States. I use mine to measure tile, to get feet and inches and fractions of inches so I can cut tile so that they fit in properly. It tells me the truth about inches, about feet, about yards. But you see, my tape measure, my specific tape measure, it is not the truth. It merely tells me the truth. And do you know what? The truth of the accuracy of that measurement is actually found in Washington, D.C. It's stored in a building that is called the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And in that building, they have all different kinds of samples, of prototypes, of weights, and of measurements. In that building, they have what they call the meter standard. It is a reinforced X-shaped bar of platinum, and it's got exactly 10% of iridium in it. And when they want to know the exact measurement of a meter, they take this bar and they cool it down to 0 degrees Celsius at a sea level of 45 degrees latitude. And you got to do exactly that, because then the bar will shrink, will change to the size it needs to be, and it will tell you the exact measurement of a meter. Our measurement of yards and feet, of inches, it's all based on that measurement. So when you use the truth that is based on the measurement, based on that bar, based on my tape measure, you don't have to worry if the tape measure is accurate. That platinum bar that is there in that building, it is the truth. And it is the measure of truth. And in the exact same way, Jesus, he is the truth. He is the reality against which everything else in our world is measured. For example, do you know how valuable you are? Do you know how loved you are? All you have to do is look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Personalize that. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. You are so valuable to God. You are so loved by God that Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on a cross just for you. And that truth right there tells us all we need to know about how much God loves us, how much God loves me. He cares for me with his love and his mercy, about how I can be forgiven from the things I've done in the past. And that truth right there is more important than anything else that this world could ever offer you. And that's because Jesus is the truth. But not only is Jesus the way and Jesus the truth, but Jesus is also the life. Do you know what the word gospel means? It's a Greek word that's translated that gets gospel. It literally means good news. And do you know what God's gospel is? Do you know what God's good news is? It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and then verses 3 through 4. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Jesus Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. You see that right there? That's the good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again from the dead. It's that simple. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. And that's the gospel. That is reason that we have life. Jesus Christ has life, and he is the life. And if you're following Jesus, if you're a Christ follower, if you're following after him, then we copy the things that he did. Because it is in Jesus that we find our way, that we find our truth, and that we find our life. We lay hold of him. I want to close with a statement by Thomas A. Kempis. He says, without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And without the life, there is no living. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The question is, do you know the way, and are you following after him?